I have a one-word topic. One word, easy to remember. It's the word nevertheless. Nevertheless. That's my subject. And I'm reading from the 5th chapter of Luke, verses 4 through 6. Listen to God's word. Now, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, that's what I want you to remember, nevertheless. Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish. Now, if you can just get a hold of this one thought that I'm going to try to present this morning, I believe it'll change your entire life. Nevertheless. Now, the setting is this. Our Lord Jesus Christ had walked down by the seashore, and multitudes of people gathered about him to hear him preach. In fact, so many of them that he was standing by the lake, so many of them that he stepped into a ship, a little boat that was pulled up on the shore. When I was down in the West Indies recently, I went down to the marketplace, and a situation similar to this existed there. The fishermen had brought their ships and just pulled them right up on the land. Half of the ship was up on the land, half of it in the water. And they'd sell their fish right out of the boat, right out of the little ship. Well, there were two ships pulled up there on the shore. One of them belonged to Simon Peter and one to one of the other men. And our Lord Jesus Christ was so pressed by the crowd, they kept crowding in upon him, that he just stepped up into the ship, and stood there probably on the bow of this little boat and addressed this crowd of people. Spoke to them. And when he had finished preaching, he knew the person to whom the ship belonged. He saw him over there washing his nets. See, the men had been out all night fishing. They hadn't caught anything. And they'd pulled their little boats up on the land, and they were out washing their nets, mending them, taking care of them, folding them up, storing them, waiting for the next time they went out to fish. And he turned to Simon, and he said, "Simon, get back in your boat and go out into the deep and let your net off the side and catch some fish." And that's when Simon said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night. We know these waters. We've fished here all our lives. We know the tides, and we know the fish, and we know the weather and the climate, and we know when they're hitting, when they're running in the schools, and when they're not. And we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I let down the net. Because you said so. You said do it. And I don't care what's opposed to it or what's against it or the failure I've experienced in the past. If you tell me to do it, I do it." And he caught a multitude of fish. And if we could only learn that valuable lesson in reference to the Word of God, that valuable lesson, let God be true and everybody a liar. I don't care how many degrees he's got, how much education he's got, how much influence and power, whether he's a doctor or a lawyer, a philosopher or an educator or a teacher or a preacher. It doesn't matter. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, these were experienced fishermen. They knew their trade. They made their living fishing. They knew the signs and the tides and the fish and all these things, and they'd met with no success. Nevertheless, in spite of all the things that were against it, they let down their nets and they caught a tremendous amount of fish because Christ said so. Now, we make a terrible mistake when we submit the Word of God to our wisdom, to our thoughts, and to our ideas. We make a terrible mistake. His ways are just not our ways. There's a way that seemeth right to us. The end is destruction. His thoughts are just not our thoughts. And our wisdom is foolishness with God, and His wisdom is foolishness with us. And my friends, I'm telling you, and I'm saying it as kindly as I can. You'll make no progress, none whatsoever, nil and void. You'll make no progress, I promise you this, toward a knowledge of God and salvation until first of all you bow totally and completely to the authority of God's Word. And that's just so. As long as you put a question mark on the Word of God, you're going to remain in darkness and ignorance and death, because the Word is the only rule of faith and practice. And that's what Peter's saying here. Our Lord said, you launch right out in the deep and cast your net over the side. And he said, Lord, I've been out there all night long and I've caught nothing. And here's the key. Nevertheless, at your word. And that's what we have is the Word of God. It's called the Word of God, the Word of God. My friend, man's wisdom says creation out of nothing is impossible. That's what man's wisdom tells him. Nevertheless, God said, in the beginning, He created the heavens and the earth. Man's wisdom denies the fall, denies representation. It denies original sin. It denies the consequences of Adam's sin. Nevertheless, God said in Adam, all die. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Nevertheless, that's what God said. Man's wisdom denies the scripture which says in Adam, all die. Nevertheless, that's what the Word of God declares. Man's wisdom denies the miracles of the Old Testament. It denies the drying up of the Red Sea, tries to explain it away. It denies the manna falling from heaven. It denies the rock giving forth water. It denies these things. Nevertheless, God's Word declares that these miracles took place. Man's wisdom denies that God became a man. God can't become a man. God can't die on a cross. I know. Logic says no. Nevertheless, logic of a fisherman tells me if you fished in one spot all night, caught nothing, put in your nets and go home. That's what logic says. Logic says get a good night, day's rest and go back again. Nevertheless, at your word, I let down the net. And that's what I'm saying. Logic, human wisdom, says God can't become a man, can't die in the flesh. But God's Word says He did. It says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Man's logic and human wisdom says the way to God is by works. Do good. Do the best you can and live in heaven someday, and God's got to reward you. That's what human wisdom said. Nevertheless, God's Word says it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us. Man's wisdom denies the resurrection. What? You mean a man dies and he goes back to the dust and rots and decays and worms eat his body, and 500 years later you take up the remains in a nickel paper bag, and someday God's going to speak and that man's going to come forth in the flesh with flesh and bones and live forever? I can't believe that. No, you can't. You're exactly right. Human wisdom can't do it, and therefore it can't believe it. It can't explain it, and therefore it can't believe it. Nevertheless, the Word of God standeth sure. That's exactly right. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle shall pass from my word till every bit of it is fulfilled. God says there'll be not only a first resurrection, but a second resurrection, a resurrection unto life and a resurrection unto death. This is what I'm saying. Nevertheless, in spite of whatever opposition, in spite of whatever logic or argument you have, whatever human wisdom, thoughts or ideas, that's what He said. He said, Peter, you cast your boat out into the sea and let down the net. Well, He said, Lord, everything's against it, nevertheless. At your word, I'll do it. And my friends, the Word of God is the sole foundation of faith. Not feeling, not experience. Whatever the conflict, whatever the opposition, I say, I don't understand. Nevertheless, I believe God's Word. Nevertheless, that's the answer for every situation. every one. I'm going to give you a few that I've jotted down here today. Different situations in which this one word can be used. But now my primary point today in this message, if I could get you to look to the Word of God, quit looking to human reason and human wisdom and human logic and all these things that folks come up with. Like to say, I know what the Bible says, but. Can you hear Peter, the Lord says, launch out into the deep and let down your net. But, Lord, no. No, nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. And that's when he was blessed. He called a multitude. What about this matter of prayer? What about this matter of prayer? Where does this word fit in the matter of prayer? Well, turn to Matthew 26. Matthew, I pray about any need, any problem, or any desire. The Lord Jesus was in the garden. And he left his disciples over there, and he went a little farther. And it says, he went a little farther and fell on his face, Matthew 26:39. And he prayed, saying, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Now, I know what I believe about that cup, but if I get into the discussion of that, you're going to lose the point that I'm making. So I'm not going to get in a discussion about the thing that he was referring to here about which he was praying, because I want you to see something here. Whatever that cup is, we'll leave that for another time. But he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Solve this difficulty, this problem. Lift this burden. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the way to pray. Now, I'm telling you, that's the way to pray. That's the way the Lord prayed. This is to be our attitude in prayer at all times. Lord, my child's lost, needs Christ. I beg of you, I plead with you, I pray in Christ's name. Reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to my child or husband or wife or friend or family or congregation. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. My wife and I had a son who went to Vietnam, the war in Vietnam, a long time ago, 15 years ago. And I prayed very definitely that God would keep him safe, deliver him from harm, bring him home. You know that I did, like all of you did. And like we pray now for our young men who are in danger in other places, I pray. But I did pray this way, and I believe I meant it. And I was satisfied with God's decision, bring him home safely, nevertheless. Not my will, but thy will be done. Now, you'll never pray in the will of God till you can pray that way. And I know the argument people give you. I know one fellow wrote a book one time on prayer, something about prayer, and said, back God off in the corner and demand this of God. Demand. You're not in a position of making demands on God. God's not obligated to us. He doesn't owe us his favor. He doesn't owe us his mercy. Anything this side of hell's mercy. That's right. And if our Lord Jesus Christ prayed this way, how much more do I need to learn to pray this way? Huh? Father, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. All right? In the matter of ministering the Word of God, in 2 Timothy 1:12, the Apostle Paul suffered great persecution for preaching the gospel of grace. You read in the New Testament about his afflictions and his troubles. I know a little bit about him, not much. I've never resisted unto blood or suffered unto blood. Never have. I've never really paid a very serious price for what I'm preaching, but Paul did. He says, for the which cause I suffer these things. He suffered stoning and shipwreck and scourgings and beaten with rods and all these things. In prison, in the deep, in peril of his countrymen and false brethren. He suffered terribly for preaching the cross of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, anyone who does preach the gospel of God's grace, he's going to count his enemies many more than his friends. Our Lord said that. Marvel not if the world hates you. They hated me before they hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, as I'm not of the world will hate you and they'll persecute you. Religious world's the worst enemy the gospel has. Preachers, religious leaders and religious people
hate the gospel of God's redeeming grace more than people who are drunks and harlots and publicans on the street corner. That's exactly right. And they'll persecute the preachers of the gospel. And that's what Paul said, I suffer for preaching the gospel, 2 Timothy 1:12. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. And so I say, let men rage. I'll preach God's divine sovereignty. I'll preach God's elective grace. It's in the Word of God. I'll preach divine predestination. I'll preach man's responsibility. I'll preach men dead in trespasses and sin. I'll preach an effectual particular atonement which Christ accomplished on the cross. I'll preach the effectual, irresistible work of God's Holy Spirit and the preservation and perseverance of the saints and the return of our Lord and everlasting hell for unbelievers and everlasting glory for believers. And let men rage and argue and rant and gnash their teeth, do what they want to. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. Persecution may come and go. Nevertheless, I'll still declare what I know God's Word teaches. And we're not going to tiptoe through the tulips, and we're not going to compromise for the sake of friendship, and we're not going to compromise to get your support or anybody else's support. Almighty God's Word stands alone. Let God be true and every one of us liars. Sure, he's sovereign. Sure, man's a sinner. Sure, God elected a people. Of course, Christ died, and all shall be brought to know him whom he gave to the Son before the world began. Men may resent original sin, nevertheless, it's in God's Word. Men may resent God on the throne. They don't resent God on the throne dealing out his alms, you know, and feeding them and clothing them. They said, we don't care if you feed and clothe us. They don't resent that, but God on the throne they hate, nevertheless. We preach God on the throne. Men may deny Christ's sacrifice. They say, we don't want that bloody religion. We don't want that slaughterhouse religion. We don't want that first century theology. It goes back further than that. It's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. My theology goes back further than the first century. It goes back further than the first century B.C. It goes back when God dwelt alone before the sons of God shouted for joy and before God hung the stars in space. He was the lamb slain. Men may doubt eternal condemnation. Nevertheless, it's there. And that's what Paul says. I suffer persecution. Cast out is evil. Men lie on you. They say, well, he preaches this, that, and the other. Of course, I usually find this, folks that hear you the least know the most about what you're preaching. But nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, fourthly, in this matter of false doctrine and false prophets, there isn't anybody who knows the gospel who's not distressed by what we're seeing and hearing in this day in the name of religion. It's enough to turn a strong stomach. What I see on television in the name of religion, most of these fellas out of Oklahoma and Virginia and Texas and Louisiana and these other places, it turned the stomach of a strong man, what they claim to do in the name of God. And anybody who knows anything about the gospel has got to be sick of what he's seeing and hearing today. Hucksters begging for money, every breath, 30-minute program, 25 minutes spent for begging for money. They're con men, they're con artists, and they're hucksters, and somebody needs to cry out against it. Here's what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:18. False preachers concerning the truth have erred. They've tried to overthrow the faith of some, and they've accomplished their mission. They've overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Nevertheless, the false teachers come and go. They build their empires and build all of their denominations and always put their names on them, you know. They always put their names on them. They build their empires and call them by their names and they leave their monuments and they come and go. Nevertheless, And some people are fooled and deceived and swept along in this horrible tide of deceit and error that glorifies the flesh and dignifies the flesh and brings God down from His holy place and denies His righteousness and makes salvation a work of man instead of a gift of God. And people are caught up in this pressure and they go along, even deceiving, if it were possible, the elect, God said. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Yes, He does. The Lord knows them, the people of God, chosen by His grace, loved by Him, redeemed by Him, called by His Spirit. They shall never be turned away because their hearts and eyes are set towards Christ as the sole object of their faith. And He said, all that My Father giveth Me shall come to Me. And him that cometh, I'll in no wise cast out. And I come to do My Father's will. And this is My Father's will who hath sent Me, that of all which He hath given Me, I lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. I pray not for the world. I pray for them that Thou hast given Me. They won't be deceived. They will not be deceived. Nevertheless, though con men come and go, though hucksters rise and fall, though empires rise and fall, though men deny the faith, though men are swept up in a great tide to follow them, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. He knows them that are His. He said, I know My sheep. I know My sheep. And they hear My voice and they follow Me. And I give them eternal life. And they'll never perish. And nobody will ever pluck them out of My hand. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:10, I endure all things for the elect's sake. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Truth's not popular, not in this day. Don't rock the boat, they tell you. Don't bring out strong doctrine. Just say what everybody will accept and everybody will support and everybody will send their money. Don't rock the boat. Don't get into deep doctrine. Brethren, my concern is your soul, not my well-being. My concern is your soul, not my next suit of clothes. My concern is your soul. God will take care of the rest of it. Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ. I'm not concerned whether this program's on the air next Sunday or not. I'm concerned right now telling you the truth. If God wants it on, it'll be on. If He doesn't want it on, it'll go off. Who cares? Can you see what I'm saying? I hear these fellows say, if you don't send some money, we're going off there. Well, hallelujah. What if you do? Say, this is a work of faith. If you don't send a dollar, we're going to get off there. That's not faith. Anytime you tell anybody your needs but God, you've left faith. Tell God your need. He supplies the need. If He wants you on, you'll stay on. If He doesn't, get off. That's the way I feel about it. But I'm going to tell you the truth one more time. One more time. If I got one more week, you'll hear it one more week. If I got 10 more weeks, you'll hear it 10 more times. God knows them that are His. In the matter of weariness with this world, listen to Paul. He said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I live in the flesh, I serve God. I have no choice but to do His will. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. I'd rather die right now and go be with the Lord, he said. Nevertheless, for me to abide here in the flesh is best for you. See what he's saying? This word goes all the way through the word. Nevertheless, of course the true believer desires to be done with this world and done with sin and done with trial and done with all these things. But nevertheless, for me to abide is best for you. And what's best for you is what's important. Not what's best for me. What's best for you. That's what Paul said. Nevertheless, I want to go home. I'm weary. I'm tired of jail cells, he said. I'm tired of being cussed out. I'm tired of having rocks thrown at me. I'm tired of and weary of the way. The road is so long and the hills are so steep. He said, I'd rather go home and be with God. Nevertheless, I will be done. See what I'm saying? What about the future? 2 Peter 3:10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a great heat, and the earth also and the works shall be burned up, the heavens being on fire will be dissolved. Can you imagine such a time? When all the world will just melt with a fervent heat, and the elements shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall pass away with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, there's that word again, nevertheless, in the face of all of this destruction, in the face of all of this annihilation, all of it pass away, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, that's what Peter was saying, according to your word, I'll lay down the net. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I ask you this morning, without the word of God, what do you look for? You don't have anything to look for. You have, there's nothing written across the sky. All of the writings of men are of recent date. What do you look for? What's your foundation? Well, I think, well, the fellow before you thought something else. And before the fellow before him thought something else. There's one infallible, inerrant, verbally inspired truth, and that's God's Word. And that's what Peter's saying here. Let it all dissolve. Let it all meet. Let melt. Let it all pass away. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth. So what I'm saying to you is this. Whatever you face in your reasoning or logic or arguments or education or intellect or thoughts or ideas or whatever, nevertheless, at Thy word. That's where I'm going to stop right here. What God says, I believe. I believe, therefore I've spoken. And I'm going to continue to speak. Will you listen?